Please join me in the call to worship. Come out of the shadows and into God's light. We will not seek, but will make a pilgrimage to God's heart. Lay down all which is a burden to you. We will give our fears to God, who is our help in every moment. Follow the one who will lead you to new life. We long to live in God's presence every day of our lives. I invite you now to stand as you are able to sing hymn number 313, Come Down, O Love Divine. If we come to God with open hearts and honest words, we will not be pushed away, but wrapped in God's loving and forgiving embrace. I invite you to join me as we confess our lives to God, praying together. We admit, God, our light, that we do indeed try to tear apart a piece of Him here to support our politics, a part of Him to ungird our economics, the rest of Him to bolster our fears of others. We could leave immediately to follow Him, but need to wait until we see where He might lead us. We want You to look upon us with favor always, but have no trouble turning our backs on those around us. Hear us, God, our deliverer, as we speak of our failures. Have mercy on us. We appeal to You. Have mercy. May Your love become the core of our hearts. May Your compassion become the words we speak. May Your hope illuminate the ways in which we serve others, even as we seek to follow the one who calls us to new life, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Hear us now, O God, as we silently confess our sins. Amen. God is our help, so why should we be afraid? God keeps us safe, so there is nothing to dread. Sheltered in God's gracious heart of mercy and love, we claim the opportunity to receive forgiveness. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us now pass the peace of Christ to those who have gathered to worship nearby.
Good morning. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of San Leandro. We're glad that you're worshiping with us here today. My name's Renee Rico. I'm the transitional pastor, and on behalf of all of our leadership, we welcome you to this worship service. As we gather, we invite you to look in the pews for that small little pew pad. Write your name if you wish. If there's something you would like us to help you with, let us know. Regulars, you can sign your name. We do have large print hymns and hymn texts and bulletins available from the ushers, so if that's something you need, we invite you to take advantage of that. We also have listening devices as well. Following worship, we have a coffee fellowship through these doors. We'd love to have you come and grab something to eat and to drink and to get to know us, to ask questions and experience fellowship together. So for today, deacons are meeting at 11 a.m. in the conference center over by the offices. And the class I'm leading, The Years of Ripening, we're meeting at 11 a.m. in the fireside room, and so we invite you to join that if you want to check us out. As indicated in the bulletin, donation statements for 2025 are available in the fellowship hall, so if you're in the process of filling out taxes and things like that, you can pick one up from there with your envelope, with your name on it. Also in the bulletin, we're mentioning something called per capita. Very unsexy name. I mean, what the heck does that mean, right? So, you know how we pay taxes so that together we have services that we can all take advantages of, right? Well, per capita is kind of our payment to the larger church so that they can do things on our behalf that we could not do individually. So they are sending missionaries out. They are providing help through Presbyterian disaster assistance to communities that are in need. There's all kinds of things your per capita goes to. And here's the thing. If you've pledged, you have already given us a contribution. I'm going to invite you to take one more little extra step, which is per capita. For each member, we pay $45. Now, we're going to pay that $45 whether you give us $45 or not. But if you want to help the budget, you could write your check for that $45 and put per capita, again, really unsexy name, in the memo line, and that will help the church budget. It's an invitation. Just want to comment that last Sunday we had the afternoon movie up, and I'm so sad Donald Pollard isn't here because he was an incredible Carl Fredrickson. And if you didn't see it, he will proudly show you a photo if you haven't already seen it. But there are crafts, plenty of treats, a variety of ages that came to the event, and so we're thrilled that we were able to provide something for our neighbors. Upcoming this Saturday is the book club is meeting here. They're having their annual book trade, I guess you would call it, and so you're invited for that as well as for brunch. And next Sunday, I'm bringing back Stump the Pastor. Remember that? If so, those of you who were here, you all put together questions. I pull them out of a basket. I try to figure out if I have anything to say on the subject. And so you probably could think of a question I have no answer to. But if there's something you've been curious about faith, about the Bible, about somebody had a told me they have a question about the Apostles' Creed, write that down. So there's a little box and some slips of paper. We have some. We could use more. And we'll have some an intriguing time next Sunday. Looking ahead, in mid-February, Sherry Plunkett is bringing back her Listening to a Book series, which will meet on Tuesday afternoons. And this year, the book is going to be The Prodigal Prophet by Tom Keller. He's a pastor, really good writer, and you don't even, as she said, you don't even need to buy the book because she's going to read it to you. So look for sign-ups for that soon. And then in mid-February, our outreach team is sponsoring a paint class. You know those, the paint and sip classes? It's usually wine. Sorry, we won't have wine. But on Sunday afternoon, February 15th, we're going to have an opportunity to do that with a teacher that Emily or Wendell, our church administrator, has some connections to. And so very shortly you'll be seeing some sign-ups for that. Today in worship, we are going to be doing anointing with oil. We've done that in the past, one other time. And so when we're in need and wanting to experience healing from God, anointing was one of the most ancient prayer practices there is. It goes all the way back to really the early part of the Old Testament. So we will have a time when you can choose to come forward. We're going to let you choose your own adventure here. Maybe that's not something you want to do. But if you do, we're going to have two stations here and then a station where they're going to go through the chapel area so you guys don't have to come forward. I'll be available with oil, too. I can come to you if you're in the main part of the sanctuary and would like to have that. You have a choice of having oil either on your wrist or on your forehead. It's plain, unscented olive oil. And if that's something you are seeking today, we invite you to participate in that. So let us now continue our worship. Ben Bell will be reading our first scripture today.
Our first scripture reading is from the book of Psalms. Chapter 27, verses 1, and then verses 4 through 9. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, O Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet of Isaiah. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And from that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. Jesus called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In preparing this sermon, I saw this joke the other day, and it said this. It said, if repentance were easy, there'd be an app for that. And I, like you, thought it was a funny joke. But then I thought, I'd better do some research. And sure enough, in the app store for my iPhone, there are several repentance apps. I checked out one. It was called Repent Christian. I guess, you know, there are different faith traditions that you can do. And so with this app, what you do is you enter the specific thing you want forgiveness for. I said, I'm sorry for lying for a friend. You know, I made something up. Friends, I haven't lied to you that I remember right now. So then you will get a message, and it gives you this four-step process to go through, such as prayer, ask for forgiveness, all of these things. And, of course, you have to do the work. But I'm a little disturbed by an AI approach to a spiritual process, right? And then that gets us to thinking about what and how God wants us to repent and what we're supposed to repent for. And I'm assuming nobody here has that repentance app. Is that a safe assumption? Okay, all right. Just checking. All right. So let me quickly ask, who here has repented today? No? No? Okay, well, it's early. It's not lunch yet. Okay. Has anybody repented over the weekend? Okay, one person, a few of you. Okay, good, good. Is anybody thinking about repenting right now? That's private business, right? Okay, all right. And so if you were going to think about repenting, what do you imagine it would mean and what it would look like for you to repent? And to getting back to our text today, when Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near," what is Jesus asking us to do? And so I think in this text, thinking about what Jesus is asking us to repent is probably something a little different than, I did something bad, I've got to change my, I need to fix it, I need to, you know, repair things, and I got to move forward, right? You know, sometimes we think of repentance as sort of a negative thing, right? You got John the Baptist with big scary hair, and he's got this big voice, and he's telling us, you're really bad, and you got to repent, right? I mean, that's kind of an image that we get in the Bible. And so we've learned that repentance is about us having done something wrong or bad. And I'm not saying we don't sin and we've got to change our, you know, we've got to fix things. None of that is untrue. But I think this repentance that Jesus is talking about is something else. You know, repentance in Jesus' terms is not just changing from bad to good, shaping up or shipping out, flying straight, minding our P's and Q's. Maybe, I think he's talking about something deeper and something bigger. Because those little repentances, those make our behavior the central issue, and then it's always about, are we living good enough? And that's a difficult and exhausting way to live, whether we're doing it for Jesus, our family, or anyone else. And so let's look at what Jesus might be telling people to do in this passage. And so we've got two scenes, right? We've got the story about Jesus inviting everybody out into the wilderness to hear a word of God and repent, and then a story where he calls the disciples, and that's a story of repentance. Huh. That's interesting. I've never, you know, a call story being about the repentance that Jesus is talking about. And so let's dig a little deeper. In the Greek, the language of the New Testament that is shared with us, the word is metanoia. And that word has the meaning of turning around. And so if you're headed east, it means go north, south, or west. It has the feeling that something is changing. And it doesn't necessarily mean something negative that's gone on before. It just means something's changing. And so Jesus is walking by those disciple fishermen who are living a perfectly ordinary life. We don't learn that they have been doing anything bad or evil. They are living their fisherman life. And Jesus says to them, follow me. Well, he might have also been able just to simply say, repent. Change direction. Follow me. And they do. Peter and Andrew leave their nets. James and John leave their boat and their father, and they're stepping out into a different, more meaningful life. Their life will be quite different than fishing on a boat on the Sea of Galilee. You see, they are still going to be fisher folk, right? Jesus, that's the whole point of that little passage, right? There will be a different kind of haul. You know, again, remember, being a fisherman is not a bad life, but now they're getting a specific call from the Son of God. They aren't going to stop fishing. They will now fish for people. They won't stop being who they are, but they will become more fully who they already are. Fishermen. What if that's repentance? You know, a lot of us have sometimes needed or wanted a different life than the one we're living. There have been times when we've needed renewal in our lives. Sometimes we've wanted to exchange our current life for the one that brings more meaning and love. And I think repentance is that process of growing up and becoming more fully who we are ourselves. Maybe repentance isn't about our having been bad, but having outgrown the life that we currently have. Now, in our Sunday class focusing on the senior years, the author, Joyce Rupp, uses the metaphor of ripening. That is, we age, we often find things that are the most us become truer at the end of our lives. We begin to relax more into knowing ourselves better than we did. And one of our participants noted that they wish they knew some of these things earlier in life. It would have been so handy. But then another commented, maybe knowing this now is the gift of this time. Now, the psychologist Carl Jung said that we all walk in shoes too small for us. Well, truth be told, I think sometimes our shoes are too big as well. And neither is a good thing. Shoes too small, shoes too big. Your feet are going to hurt either way, and you can trip and fall. And so when you're in this situation, you don't need better behavior. You need a new pair of shoes. And so sometimes we find the shoe of our life is just the wrong size. Sometimes our life is constricted by the same old patterns of seeing and thinking and behaving. We've always done it that way. We can't imagine it doing another way. Repent, Jesus says. Sometimes we let our past and history, our wounds and our fears, keep us from doing things. We play it safe and push aside dreams of something different. Repent. Sometimes we accept the bruises, blisters, and the aches of it's just the way it is. It's familiar, and we know what to expect. We're comfortably uncomfortable. Repent. Other times we're trying to carry on as we've been used to, even as aging and medical issues make it clear we can't go on the way it used to. You know, I remember how long my mother made it clear that she'd never wanted to leave her home. If she could have had her way, she would have died of a heart attack in her sleep in her house. And she had lived there over 50 years. She'd raised her children there. And I knew she was one medical emergency away from having to leave that home. And eventually, that medical emergency happened. And I was wondering how this was going to go. I couldn't have anticipated things. I thought she would be angry and mad and depressed. And to my surprise, once we moved her from Southern California up to the Bay Area to assisted living that was 5 minutes away from me, Mom surprised me by jumping into figuring out how to live a life there with now some family close by. And she got stronger. She made some friends. It was mostly with the staff. She was one of the staff favorites, basically. She went to activities. She enjoyed the attention that my cousin and her daughters gave her. And so, you know, from the outside, it looked like her life had shrunk. But honestly, the truth was different. She was now right-sized. She had a little efficiency apartment, but she had more of everything that she really needed and wanted. You know, friends, maybe it's time that we take off our old shoes. Maybe it's time to be like Peter and Andrew and leave our nets. Maybe it's time to be like James and John and leave our boat and Zebedee. But let's be clear, we're not literalizing the shoes, you know. Keep your shoes, okay? Right? They're symbols, they're images, it's a metaphor. You can carry it too far and it breaks down. But to think about that metaphor can be a doorway for our growth. And I'm indebted to another preacher who came up with some very perceptive questions related to this topic that I've adapted for us. So see what you think. In what ways are you walking in shoes that are the wrong size for your feet? What shoes are constricting your life today? And what would it be like and mean for you to kick them off? What is the right shoe for you today? What are the nets in your life? What things or relationships are trapping and entangling you? What patterns and habits or belief have snared and captured you? And why do we spend so much time mending the nets that entangle us rather than dropping them? What nets do you need to leave behind today, and what would that take? What are the little boats that contain your life and keep it the same as it has always been? Sometimes our boats can become illusions of control or security or self-sufficiency. What fears keep you from getting out of the boat? In what ways do the routines, familiarity, and comfort of your little boat keep you sailing the same old waters of life? What would it take for you to get out of and walk away from that boat? Who is old Zebedee in your life? In what ways are you waiting for, depending on Zebedee, to give you identity, value, and meaning for your life? From whom are you continually seeking approval? How are Zebedee's expectations of who you should be and what you should be governing your life? And what if you thank Zebedee for what he and she has given and done for you, and then step out of the boat? What would it be like to walk away from old Zebedee and reclaim yourself and your life? So have you ever thought of repentance in those ways? Each of them is a letting go, an exchanging of what is for what might be. Maybe repentance is less about where we've been and more about where we are going. Maybe it's less about what we've done or left undone and more about who we are becoming. Maybe repentance is less about our past and more about our future. And so if that is what repentance is like, what might our repentance be now, today, this week, this month? What's the next right size of life for you? And friends, I invite you to look at these things and to reflect on them, because you are worth it. Amen. So friends, as you are able, I invite you to stand for our hymn of response, Though I May Seek, number 335. Be seated. As we enter this time of anointing, we are inviting anyone who is in seek of healing and wholeness to participate. And so I invite our anointing teams to come forward. And so let us pray. Gracious God, source of all healing, in Jesus Christ you heal the sick and mend the broken. We bless you for this oil pressed, for this oil pressed from the fruits of the earth, given to us as a sign of healing and forgiveness, and of the fullness of life you give. By your Spirit, come upon all who receive this ministry of compassion, and may they know your healing touch and be made whole. To the glory of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.
Let us now acknowledge and bless the offerings we are giving to God. The giving of tithes and offerings is one way we acknowledge that God has given to us. In giving, we express our gratitude, we reflect God's character, and we are investing in God's kingdom. Tithes and offerings differ in size and how they are given. Some are mailed, placed in the box in the narthex, electronically transferred, or given using the QR code found in the pew pocket in front of you. No matter the amount or method, when we give, we inspire others to do the same, creating an overflow of goodness and blessing. So let us give with open hearts and ask God to use our gifts to make a difference in the world which He has entrusted to us. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with the gifts of ability, time, and possessions. Use us and all that we give to you to extend your love to the world through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.
As we continue in prayer today, we want to take special note that Melissa's mother, Mary Tang, died on Monday, and so we want to hold Melissa and her siblings and the whole family in prayer as they grieve this loss. We also are aware of a shooting yesterday in Minneapolis that has made many distraught, and so we hold the city and our country in prayer around that as well. Let us pray. You call us, wanderer of seashores and sidewalks, inviting us to sail out of our small harbors into the uncharted waters of faith, to wander off from our predictable paths, to follow you into the unpredictable footsteps of the kingdom. You are in those uncomfortable and neighborhoods that we usually avoid, and so you invite us to go there. You ask us to repent, and what you mean is take off those obligations that others have imposed on us and become more the people you have made and call us to be. Whether old or young, we are called by you, and your invitation brings with it new life, abundant life, and we are thankful for the journeys we are called on. As we pray today, we remember that you came to save us all. We hold fast against violence perpetrated on the vulnerable in Ukraine, Syria, Iran, Gaza, and Minneapolis. Communities are disrupted, businesses are closed, children are afraid to venture out, local leaders are feeling helpless. And so, Jesus, you came to save the world, and you call us to follow, to be agents of repair, reconciliation, and healing. We stand with the victims, young and old, who are traumatized by the violence, and grieve with those who have lost loved ones. Christ came to set the prisoners free, and so we stand with those unjustly detained in places near and far. May our steadfastness in you and your love remind us how we are to treat the least of these. So as we wait, in our simple, sometimes crazy, constantly uncertain lives, speak to us, Spirit of grace, of that hope which is our anchor, of that peace which is our rock, of that grace which is our refuge. All this we pray in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so, friends, I invite you to stand as you are able for our closing hymn, Arise, Your Light Has Come, hymn 411. As we go from this place, let us remember that repentance is becoming even more who God calls us to be. I invite you to ponder that in the coming week. And so now go. Go with the deep peace of the Son of Peace, which is quick as the wave, pervasive as the air, quiet as the earth, and shining like a star. Deep peace of the Son of Peace to you all. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace.